الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. In keeping a perfect roza, the last part we had discussed was that we should keep roza of our thoughts also, and also of the food that we eat. We should see that our food is always halal, it's not doubtful, and also that it is healthy, wholesome food. That will help a person in his ibadat also. And also we mentioned that while eating, with regard to food, while we are on that subject, we'll discuss a few other aspects also about food. One is, it is sunnah to sit on the floor and eat. We should try and avoid sitting at the table. Many of us, we do sit, but we have one meal on the floor, one meal at the table. That is also not correct. Or we have a breakfast nook. Breakfast is at least at the breakfast nook. All our meals should be on the floor. And when sitting on the floor, the method of eating, it's very important, because many learned, good people also, we make lot of mistakes and we don't eat according to the sunnah tariqah. So one is, once we were in Malawi in one place, and like in many places, when we have to sit and eat, then they just put one sheet down. And on the sheet, the plates also in which you have to eat, the platters of food also, and the people who have to eat, all are sitting on that one sheet. So there is no dastarkhan in that case. There has to be a dastarkhan. And the dastarkhan can be whatever it is. The best is if we have a sunnah, a leather dastarkhan, and a round one. Hadrat Maulana Hussain Ahmed Madani rahmatullah alayhi, in his khanqa, was very particular about this. That you have a round dastarkhan and you sit around it and you eat. And that also, preferably, if you have one tray and all eat from that one tray, that thali. If it's a family, especially there, it's very easily possible. Yeah, for example, in the khanqa, in a jalsa, in a ijtima, it is difficult. Where there are so many hundreds, thousands of people, it might be difficult. But in the family, it is possible. And first, 10 people used to eat from one utensil. One tray, thali, was enough for 10 people. But now, one person needs 10 utensils. His cup, his saucer, his teaspoon, the soup bowl is separate, that spoon is separately again, his plate again, a side plate again. You need how many things? One person needs 10 utensils. So this, the economy of Islam can be understood here also. 10 people have to wash one thali, one tray. Every day one person gets a chance, no job. You don't even need a dishwasher. You don't need a maid also. But when every person wants 10 utensils, then who is going to wash it? So there is so much of other extra work and expenses. That is one thing. The other thing is, today one of the reasons, one of the other many reasons why there is no love in the house, no muhabbat between people, and forget other people right in the home also. We are all eating in separate plates. If we eat in the one thali, that will create, there is barakat also in it. You are eating of one another's food, and the West wrong concept is that it's unhygienic. Whereas yeah, there will be barakat also, and there will be muhabbat also. The leftover of a person, even if a buzur comes to our house, unless he's a very senior person, etc., age-wise also, then it's different. But otherwise, the leftover of a man, another strange woman must not eat it. That's the rule of Sharia. The leftovers of a woman, another strange man must not eat it. Why is that? Muhabbat comes from that. So if somebody came to the house and they ate, and that leftover food, the woman folk eat it, then without us realizing it, some connection can be made between them. So therefore, Shariat has prohibited that. And yeah, if the family people eat together, so it shows that there is muhabbat in that food also. So now there will be muhabbat in the family members. But today everyone eats in a separate dish. We don't want to share a teaspoon also. We don't want to share a glass of the water also, etc. On one occasion, a jamaat was in America, and there was a Negro brother. And he wasn't a Muslim also still. He was there, they invited him to have meals with them. When they sat and they ate, he wanted water in between, so he gave water to drink. One of the jamaat brothers wanted to drink, and he drank from the same glass. That person went into a state of shock, that you drinking from the glass, I drank. So he hardly thought of it. There was nothing wrong in it to him. So then that person told, my wife doesn't drink from the glass that I drink from. And yeah, you're a strange person. On that he was so impressed and he accepted Islam. He was close to, and there he read Kalima, Shahada he read. He took the Shahada. So this is also a very important thing that in the family. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, Su'rul Mu'min Shifa'un. That the leftovers of a mu'min, there is shifa in there. So therefore, if we all drink in the same glass, another one drinks, but the son drinks, the daughter, the sister, brother, mother, father, there will be shifa in that food. In that drink also, in the food also. Then also in there is muhabbat. So if we can, we should try and share also. What used to happen first in jalsas, in ijtimas, that two people should at least share from one plate. But now gradually that also is gone completely. Everyone has his own plate. And then comes the question of washing. So rather use plastic plates, use paper plates. You can just dispose of them. But if we share so many, then that whole washing problem will also be sorted out. And also, in while we're at that point, the way of eating, that the plate should be cleaned completely. Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that whenever the dishes used to come back, when Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have meals with the Sahaba, invite them, etc. radiallahu anhum, she could recognize from which plate Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate. That plate was completely clean. So then the washing up process is so simple. So therefore, we should try and clean the plate. Don't waste. What we leave behind, we are wasting it. We are leaving it for shaitan. It should be completely clean. And in fact, how we should eat is not only the plate should be clean, the whole dastarkhan should also be clean. All the little crumbs, etc., of bread, of roti, etc., which fall out, that also we should pick up and eat. It comes that this is the meher, the dowry of the hoors of Jannat. And a person who pays up front is guaranteed. So if we pay up our meher before time, we already paid it up, so then inshallah our hurul ain will also be guaranteed. And then the woman might wonder, what do they get? It comes also, the crumbs, if they are picked up, then the children that will be born will be beautiful children. And that is one thing that women die for. Their children must be very beautiful. So their children will be beautiful also. So that is also one thing. And we should eat from our side. Adab also has been taught. Not from all around the plate. That means when we are eating together in a tray, which should be the case, then we should eat, and we should eat from our side. However, if they are all different things, then it is different. And again there also, like for example, there may be some delicacies. Take only one at a time. Sometimes we take and we put in front of us four or five of it already, depriving others. That's not the correct way to eat also. We should just take one at a time and eat one, finish, then again take one, all are eating one. And in eating also, if we make ikram, if we give meat, for example, there are few meat pieces, give it to the other satis. Ikram also we should eat, but ikram also. Where there are adab also, there is ikram also. And if we, in fact, we take and we put in every person's mouth one piece of meat. If we are three, four people eating together, so we put three, four in the other, everyone's one piece. They will think this person made our ikram, let us make his ikram. They will put four pieces in your mouth. When you put one piece in their mouth, you are five people eating, you gave everyone one piece, whatever it was. And if they all give you one piece, you'll have four pieces. So if you make ikram, you will benefit also eventually. And we should not eat in the style that, for example, there are three pieces or three kebabs. You are sitting with your friend. One kebab you put in your mouth already. The second one is in your hand. And the third one is in your eyes. And your poor friend who's eating with you, nothing left for him. That should not be the case. We should see eat also with ikram. And what our share is not going to go anywhere. And we should try and eat with three fingers also. That is also sunnah. And don't think that if I'm going to eat with three fingers, my friend is eating with five fingers, then what is going to be left for me? He's going to eat everything. He's eating double. I'll get nothing. No, you eat with your three fingers. So that is the sunnah tariqah. And nobody can take your share. And what is your muqaddar? وہ کہیں نہیں جا سکتا. Your muqaddar cannot go anywhere. اور جو تیرے muqaddar میں نہیں ہے. And what is not in your muqaddar, وہ کسی طرح سے آ نہیں سکتا. You can never ever get that what is not in your share. حضرت مولانا محمد عمر صاحب پالنپوری رحمت اللہ علیہ should explain that if it is not in your share and you put that morsel of food in your mouth already, your child will come and he'll take it out of your mouth. If it wasn't in your taqdeer, it will go, even when it's in your mouth, it will go out. And when it is in your share, your child will come and push it in your mouth. He'll force you to eat it, though you don't want to. It's in your taqdeer, he'll make you eat it. So what is in your share, nobody can take it. And what is not in your share, cannot come in any way. So we should eat like that. So put a dastarkhan down. Another very important thing is that the dastarkhan must be higher than our sitting position. Where we sit, the dastarkhan must be little higher. Even if it's 1 millimeter higher, but it must be higher. Don't sit level, sit that the dastarkhan must be higher. What happens in this in many cases, where we put the dastarkhan down, and then we put blankets on the side for the people to sit on, to make it more comfortable, more softer for them. Gee, I was explaining we were in Malawi, so there was this sheet, and everything was on there. When our Sheikh Dam Barakatuhum came, and when a person is hungry and it's eating time, you want to eat, but Hazrat just saw it's not right. Hazrat turned away again, and he told me, have it fixed up. So this is how Hazrat, even in adab, not only what are things which are faraz and which are haram, Hazrat takes his care, but in this adab also. So then we put it right, etc., fixed it up. Then Hazrat came, he said, ab theek hai, now it is right. So one time we were in reunion with Hazrat. And Maulana Rashid Buzurg invited us to his place. His house is not very big, the lounge. He's got an old type of house with a wooden floor, etc. And the lounge was not big, and he invited a lot of people. So the whole lounge was full with the dastarkhan and the sitting place and that. And when Hazrat came, he saw they put blankets on the side to make it more comfortable. And then Hazrat immediately he said, this is not right. And he himself started lifting it up. So in fact, I told Hazrat, leave it now, afterwards you can explain to Maulana, in future it won't. Hazrat said, don't tell me what to do. What I want to do, I will do. And he started lifting the blankets. And at the bottom was lino, not even carpet, that old type of lino. That was on the floor. So Hazrat's tabiat is like a king's tabiat, his mizaj. He has everything of the best. Allah Ta'ala has granted him that. But he sat down on the floor. He did not even anything else. He says, we cannot sit above the food. And this dastarkhan is a shahi takht. It's a royal throne on which Allah's ni'mats are coming. These ni'mats of food is a ni'mat from Allah Ta'ala. And the dastarkhan is a royal throne on which Allah's ni'mats are put. So he says, we cannot sit equal to that. Also with regard to this, what is also amongst the adab is that the people who are going to eat must first sit down and then the food must come. And in fact, the actual ideal thing is, after that, even the utensils come. But our buzurgs, and we follow our buzurgs. How much taqwa they had, how much of ittiba'i sunnat, how much understanding they had, we know that we can never reach there. Hadhrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah Ali said, at least don't let the food come down. If the utensils are put down, all right. But the actual ideal thing is, even the utensils must not, we must put down, and we must show our muhtajgi, our faqiri, our need. We are in need of the food. So we should be sitting first, then you put the dastarkhan, and then you put the utensils. And if you put the dastarkhan first, and then you put the utensils, no problem also. But the food, at least, let that come afterwards, when the people are sitting down, and to show we are in need of the food. And when we have eaten first, when we have eaten finished, then let the food be picked up first. And when the food is picked up, in fact, even the utensils and the dastarkhan. But at least the food must be taken away, and then we must get up. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, إِذَا رُفِعَتِ الْمَعِيدَةُ. When the dastarkhan is lifted up, then this dua is read, Alhamdulillah, hamdan, kathiran, tayyiban, mubarakan fi. That all praises are due to Allah, Alhamdulillah, hamdan, kathiran, in abundance, tayyiban, the best of praises, mubarakan, very blessed, this food was, and what Allah has given. So that is read, إِذَا رُفِعَتِ الْمَعِيدَةُ, which means that first everything must be lifted up. But again, our buzurg say, at least let the food be lifted up. And also this applies when everyone is going to get up. If one person remains sitting, even a child, if he sits and carries on eating, then it's not necessary that the food must be lifted up, as long as one person also is sitting. But if all are getting up, then first pick up the food. And in this dua, hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi, this food, Allah give barakat, ghayra makfiyin. Now you are seeing that the dastarkhan is going away. All that samosas and the pies and whatever else what you are enjoying, it's going away. So what you are saying, that now it's going, I'm very full, I haven't got place for one samosa also. At one meal, a glutton, a person who eats and enjoys his meat, gourmet, he was eating, and then he ate, as we say, right, it's up to here now. I can't eat anything more now. So there was a Hakim said, I'll give you some powder. You can drink this powder and your food will get digested. So he said, you're so stupid. Your father was a Hakim, he's so stupid. Your grandfather was a Hakim, he was so stupid. If I had place, I'll eat more one samosa. What must I put this powder in my mouth? I'll eat one more pie, one more samosa I will have. Another Hakim told, have this powder. He said, no, please, give me something to rub on my stomach. For outside I can do something, inside I've eaten so much, there is no place. So anyway, now that you are so full and you see those ni'mats are going, you say to Allah, ghayra makfin, Ya Allah, we are muhtaj of you. Now it's gone at breakfast time, but lunch we're going to need it again. Lunch time it's going, supper we're going to need it, supper time it's going, again I'll need it for breakfast again. وَلَا مُوَدَّئِنْ عَنْهُ غَيْرَ مَكْفِيٍ وَلَا مُسْتَغْنًا عَنْهُ. And we are not independent of this ni'mat. Now we are sending the ni'mat away, but we need it. وَلَا غَيْرَ مَكْفِيٍ وَلَا مُوَدَّئِنْ وَلَا مُسْتَغْنًا عَنْهُ. And we are not making it wada permanently. We are not sending it away permanently. We are going to be in need of it again. So, and also for this we learn, in a court of law, when first all the people are seated in the court, everyone has taken up his position, the accused, the witnesses, the public prosecutor, all, then the judge comes in, or the magistrate. And when the case is over, the magistrate or the judge leaves first, then the others are allowed to leave, not before them. So here also, we all sit down, we take up our positions, then Allah's ni'mat comes down. And when we have finished eating, first we all, the food must first go, then we are allowed to leave. That is the correct adab. So we shouldn't sit above the dastarkhan, higher than the dastarkhan. We should sit lower. Another very important thing is, which also people are not concerned about it. We are not aware of it. And it's not fresh in our minds. We haven't got the knowledge or the knowledge. We don't practice on it, so it's just taken for granted. And we are doing the things contrary to adab. And that is, we should never step on the dastarkhan. Once we were with our Sheikh by Maulana Yunus Patel's place in Durban, and Hazrat was having his meals, the carpet was green and the dastarkhan was also green. And also I was not so conscious, it wasn't like in our mind, it wasn't important to us. So Hazrat finished eat and I stepped forward to let Hazrat wash his hands. And I put my one leg on the dastarkhan. Hazrat got like a heart attack. The color of his face faded. And he said that, just dastarkhan per, how can you put your leg on the dastarkhan? Jis par Allah ki ni'mat aati, ye shahi takht hai. There is a royal throne on which Allah's ni'mat come. How can you put your foot on this here? And then Hazrat said, jis par peer nahi baith sakte hai, us par pair kaise rakh sakte hai? On which even the peer cannot sit on the dastarkhan. How can you put your leg on the dastarkhan? There is certain words just come out. Once in Mauritius, there is one Maulana there. He told Hazrat that, Hazrat, isn't it possible that you become bayat and you get khilafat also same time? So Hazrat said, "Arey, ye to phir aise hua ki aaj shadi hui aur aaj hi bachcha paida hua. Uski nasab bhi sabit nahi hogi. Today you got married and your child got born today. Then the child, you won't be regarded even as your child." So immediately it just comes on Hazrat's tongue. So Hazrat said, jis dastarkhan par peer bhi nahi baith sakte hai, us par pair kaise rakh sakte hai? On which the peer cannot sit, how can you put your foot? And this pair, there are certain pairs which are so good that you can even put them in your mouth. A pear is the fruit and pear is the foot, the leg. But certain pear is so that you can even put it in your mouth, the pear. That's a pun. So anyway, but from different languages, not the same language. So that is also one very important thing, that we must not walk on the dastarkhan. For that reason, where there are a lot of people, there is a long dastarkhan. At nice, reasonable intervals, leave a space in between. Don't make it difficult for the people. One dastarkhan from this end to that end. Somebody has any, he finished it early, it's an emergency, wants to go away. Now, it's difficult for him to go right round like that. So leave a space in between so people can cross there. That is also important. Don't just stretch your dastarkhan one way and don't even jump over the dastarkhan. And on the dastarkhan also, if we want something, ask for it. And don't let it be. Also in this year, our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatuh says that I see that when the people sit on the dastarkhan, their eyes are so focused from this end of the dastarkhan to that end, they see everything what is there. And I mustn't miss out anything on this dastarkhan. Whatever is being served, everything I must get. There our eyes are very focused and we watch the whole dastarkhan one time. But in any case, if we want something, ask for it. Don't go over, do long jumps, and go stretch over, and we'll go and take it from there. Ask for something. And also in this, very, very important, that when we are eating, this also we notice very commonly, the concentration which we don't have in namaz, we got it when we are eating. And once we are eating, we see our sati in front of us on the side, his plate is empty, he needs something, our mind won't go. And the people who are serving and they are giving the food, we don't even help them take it from their hands. We are so concentrating on our food and on our eating. That's not the way. Be considerate of everyone who is around us. In namaz, we know everything what is happening around us. But in food, our full attention on the food. No, consider everyone that is around us. That is the correct way. And when the people who are serving, remember also, to avoid being a makhdoom, be served, be a khadim, be helpful always, wherever you are, but don't make a nuisance of yourself also. That way there are people who are serving, now you're also serving, you have to sit. If you're the guest and the intizam is, you must sit and eat, you sit and eat. And if the intizam is, you must serve yourself, you serve yourself, you go and take your food. But try and avoid this mizaj which is being created. Everyone, we go with our sheikh somewhere. Now we just take it for granted, we must be served. Everyone must do everything for us. That is not correct at all. We try and help out as much as we can. And try and be, at least if you can't help, be independent. Do your own thing yourself. Don't be sit like a lord and a king and everyone must come and serve us. And at least, even if you are being served, then when the people bring the food, at least take it from their hand. The way we carry on that we are lords, we are sitting, and everyone is very keen to serve us. That there is no buzurg like us, and everyone just wants to serve us. No, we try and be independent, do our own thing as far as possible. And the worst is that we start taking objection. Eh? And this we find moreover, like, yeah, we have sometimes in the Jalsa, some wedding party also has, they also take part. And the way they carry on and they demand, and they say openly, we the wedding party. We from the bride's side, we from the groom's side. And where's the achar, where's the papar, where's this, where's that? That shouldn't be our attitude. Of a mu'min, one dua is, Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. Oh Allah, give me qana'at, suffice me what I've got, that must be enough for me. One person went and eat somewhere and he wanted salt. So he asked for salt. There wasn't salt in the house at that time. He sent a servant to go and buy, or somebody, the child, whoever. That person met up with an accident on the way. And then when they came, when the person finished eat, now he's making big, loud, loud duas. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. Oh Allah, let me be satisfied with what you have given me. So he says, if that is your dua, then you shouldn't give me this trouble with your salt. And I had so much of problem getting the salt for you. So therefore, we shouldn't try and impose also. Where it is absolutely, I saw, we were in Newcastle by Maulana Qasim Seema, Rahmatullah Ali's place. Hadrat invited our Shaykh, Hadrat Hakim Sahib Damat Barakatuhum. And Hadrat is a diabetic. And that time his diabetes was a bit more. And Hadrat wouldn't have anything that was with sugar. But there was rice. And then also, they had a drink that was also with sugar, but Hadrat didn't speak one word. And when somebody else wanted to, Hadrat stopped him. If you want to make arrangements for your sheikh, for anyone, Hadrat said, do it before time. Now at the actual time, now you're going to give them trouble. Now where are they going to go and cook another dish? You should have informed them that there is a diabetic and he doesn't have sugar, he doesn't have rice. Inform them before time. You didn't do that before time. And now you want to show you a big khadim of your sheikh, very concerned of your sheikh, that how can he have rice? And now you want to inform and cause the people inconvenience. Though Hadrat was a diabetic, but he ate less. He ate very little. But he didn't hurt their feelings also. He ate very little, but he didn't impose on them in any way whatsoever. So all these things are things that we have to learn, and to make us an abd, a slave of Allah, all these things are very, very necessary. So those were a few things. And while eating, before eating, wash our hands also. Take the trouble. Many places nowadays, they don't make the intizam. Because unfortunately the system has become such that people don't wash their hands. After eating, they just use the serviette, etc. Though I was very opposed to it at one time, and in Riyadh al-Salihin, I read so many hadith that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu should wipe their hands on a cloth. They should wipe their hands on their feet, the oil, etc. That is good. Now you go and buy separate cream. This you go and wash away, and then you clog your drain. You block your basin, and with all their things, and then you go and buy separate cream again to put on your hands. That is good in, and if you think it's dirty, then what were you eating? Were you eating dirt? That same thing you were eating, that was your food. So you just rub it on your hands, you rub it on your legs, that oil, that is good for the hands and the legs. And if you don't think it's good, but it was good enough for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. And if they are not your standard in your life, then if you've got another person, another role model, besides the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, then that's your choice. But the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they are the standard role models for the whole of mankind till the day of Qiyamah. So these are a few points. I hope we have covered most of them. So to eat. Another thing which also, though we have mentioned it already, but in this context, what Hazrat Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayh, a postmaster who was eating, and some of the crumbs fell out. And Hazrat told him, pick it up and eat it. He said, it's beyond me, I can't do this. I must eat the crumbs. Then see also, yeah, we learn another great lesson. And when teaching hadith and discussing a hadith, these are the points also we must take out. That how Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only what the hadith is saying, but what affection he made tarbiyat of his sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala. So Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib didn't become angry at him, didn't assign him off to Jahannam, and write him off that he's a lost case. But what a beautiful example it gave him. He told, if the minister of post and telegraphs, if he sends a bar of chocolate for you, and one piece of that falls down, will you not pick it up and eat it? He said, yeah, when it comes from the minister of post and telegraphs, then I will really appreciate it. The minister, he has sent something for me. So, and in fact, it's not only that, but even that wrapper of the chocolate, you'll keep it. It's got great sentimental value to you. Then Maulana said that when that is the case, realize that this food of yours, Allah has sent it for you. And every morsel which is destined for whichever person, whether that rice grew in Pakistan, right far away in a farm, that basmati rice, whether that zafran came from a distant farm in Spain, and whether that peas and vegetables came right from some farm, the meat might have come from the Karoo, and the masalas might have come from Tanzania, Malawi, Sri Lanka, but whichever piece of that was meant for you, which elaichi was meant for you, Allah has destined it, and it takes all its roots and its forms, but it will come onto your in your plate. And how much of that? Half a plate is meant for you, you'll eat half a plate. And if you come up with and you're spewing or something, you leave the other half plate. Only how much was left meant for you, so much you will eat. So it is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. He understood. Then he said, now I realize and I will eat this. And drinking water, we should drink minimum 3 sips. And take the glass in the right hand when drinking. Also, there is a very important point which we did discuss, that when eating meals, try and avoid cold liquids. Whether it's water, when worst is carbonated drinks, fizzy drinks, etc. The Hakims explained this, that when you eat, and in fact before you start eating, when just the thought of the food or the aroma, the smell of the food starts coming, already a fluid builds up in your mouth, which we call saliva spit. It isn't just because we are listening for the food and that we are now looking forward to it, but it is Allah's system that helps to digest the food, that fluid that is required. In many machinery, at a point, some oil is dropped on the thing in order to let it function properly, natural, all the time. So there is a natural oil, the saliva, which helps to digest the food. And also, Hadrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi has written that food which you eat with enjoyment and relief, the body digests that food. And what you don't feel like eating, that is not going to be good for the body. So what you, but again, doesn't mean now junk food, your body, today everyone releases junk food. So what for good food and your body enjoys, looks forward. So looking forward to a meal is very important. When you are eating under pressure and you don't feel you are being forced to eat, you don't want to eat, there is no benefit in that food. When you're looking forward to a meal, it is for that reason, after breakfast, don't have anything in between as far as possible. By lunch, you'll be nice and hungry, and you look forward to your lunch, you'll enjoy the lunch, and that meal is going to be very healthy for you. between lunch and supper again, if you don't have anything in between. Also, while we are on this point, in Verulam one time, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was there at our brother Ismail, So anyway, he was there, Ismail Badat. So somebody came with a khajur after meals, and he told Hazrat Ji to make tahneek for the child. So before he told somebody, he said, please don't ask Hazrat Ji now. Because if he will do it now, he'll go and spend another 15 minutes cleaning his mouth again after that. Whenever he would have eaten, after that he would clean his mouth thoroughly. This is very, very important. Another great paradox is, we are taught to brush our teeth in the morning. And perhaps the whole world in the morning gets up and brush their teeth. And after that we have our breakfast, and after breakfast there is no cleaning of the mouth. Whereas the main time is after you have eaten. Miswak, which is sunnat, is after eating you make miswak. So that all the particles, in fact the Hakim writes that when a person eats, and especially at night, this is the main time, he eats and he didn't clean his mouth properly, and he goes and sleep like that, and then what, all that food which is stuck in between the teeth, etc., on the gums, those become germs now, that food. And now it is like your shop at night, you locked it up and you left the crooks inside. Like that you left. Or you leave your wife in the house and you leave another strange man and you lock up your house with the strange man in the house. All this, your enemy, you're locking them inside. So the time to clean your mouth is after a meal, really. And then you should clean the mouth thoroughly. And if you clean your mouth, use miswak. And if you want to, use manjan. Manjan is very good, what is called boning the teeth. Manjan is a powder which is made from bones. Bones are burned. And then when they are made ash, then from that a manjan is made. It's sold readily, and today you get Kalonji manjan also. You get good manjans also in India, Pakistan. Maybe it's sold here also. Anyway, that is very good. Toothpaste, most of the toothpaste contain fluoride. Fluoride is a chemical waste where what is called the first world countries, they don't know where to dump this waste. And they fool the world and they sell it to the third world countries. In America, in Europe, a very limited amount of fluoride is allowed in the water also. It has to be controlled, because fluoride is bad for the body, bad for the bones. And yeah, it is sold to us and it is advertised as a good thing, that this toothpaste contains so much of fluoride. This contains fluoride. So we should try and use manjan. It is much more cheaper, much more better. After that, use a toothpick also. This is sunnat also. And clean out all the particles. And use dental floss also to make sure. And in this way, if we clean our teeth, Hakim Yusuf of Hackworth, he says a professor of Wits University, went and see him. He wasn't getting children. After examining him, everything, that professor's wife was also with, and then he advised him, go and see a dentist for your teeth also. So he went, and then there was some problem with his teeth, abscess. That was all fixed up. After that, his wife bore a child after so many years. So this the mouth has got an effect on the, because this is the entrance point, the entry, the gate of entry for everything that goes, and everything in the stomach is very important to do with our health. The stomach has very, and this is the point of entry. Similarly, now there was an article that if you clean your mouth, cholesterol and blockage of arteries, it will help, it will alleviate it and it will relieve it tremendously. Because the germs which are in the mouth, they all go down into the stomach and they cause the problems. So therefore, one thing is after every meal, clean your mouth. And if you had your breakfast, Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali went to Pakistan at one time. And where it's very common after Fajr, is first tea and biscuits. Breakfast will be later. So they brought tea and biscuits for Hazrat. He had it. Then they said breakfast. He said, what breakfast? What was that what I had? That was my breakfast. Finished. He didn't touch again afterwards. He said that was enough. And Hazrat Ji was very particular. After a meal, he would clean his mouth very properly. So this is also very important, that if after breakfast, clean the mouth properly. And especially in Ramzan after Sehri, because now the whole day, at least by the barakat of Roza, by Allah's kindness, we're not all the time putting, otherwise our habit is, till if we can, how many do it in fact, not if we can, even in namaz put a sweet in the mouth. Then what kind of namaz is that? When we go and sleep, a sweet in the mouth. This is very, very bad habit. But unfortunately, we just, terrible habit, we are, ye khana nahi, ye charna hai. Like a cow chewing all the time. And you see the cow eating grass the whole day, chewing, and at night the cow, whole night it's chewing also. All the time it's chewing. And that is our habit that we have come to, all the time chewing. That is not a good thing at all. So after a meal, clean our mouth properly. And then try and avoid. If you have to have something, then at least if you have the cold drinks, etc., the amount of syrup that is in there, the sugar, at least rinse the mouth thoroughly, properly. Don't just leave it like that. All that on the teeth, that the sugar which is in that cold drink, etc., it affects the body. It affects, and the black stains on the teeth. Coca-Cola is one thing known that it causes this black, it causes the teeth to be stained. This Coca-Cola and Pepsi, what acid it has got, if you leave it on bone for a while, for a week or so, for a few days, you'll see what effect it has got on that. But then this we are putting in our stomach. So anyway, so our eating, we should try and eat. And then while eating, there is also very important, be light-hearted. And never be serious while eating. Because if your body is light-hearted, your body is relaxed, it takes the maximum benefit. Also remember that your whole body cannot pay attention to two things at the same time. Your mind also. مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِ. Allah hasn't made two hearts for a person. And in whatever we are doing, try and do one thing at a time. Today we are trying to do so many things at one time. It is not you're making zulm on your body. Allah, وَلِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقْ. Your body also has got a right. So when we are eating, if you are listening to news, now you are doing two jobs at the same time. And the news today is filled with all crime and violence and all those things. Your body cringes without you realizing it. So your body cannot digest the food. Your whole body cringes, it cannot digest the food, you don't get the maximum benefit. So you should be light-hearted, you should be quite relaxed when you are having your meals. Also, how many buzurgs have made this a law that this, when they're having the meals, nobody must bring any news of any sad thing. After half an hour after the meals, you want to come in, bring the news, now you bring that news. People who are disconscious, in their homes they have made this rule. Because you women folk, it's their nature. As soon as you enter, you're going to sit and eat many cases. And then they start telling today, this news came, that news came. No, while eating, it should not be. Before eating, it shouldn't be. Not immediately after eating. And our Shaykh takes particular care that after meals, a joke must be said. And even if you don't, if it's not a joke, to laugh also. But laugh. And just relax yourself. This helps tremendously to get the maximum benefit out of that food. And that, Hazrat says, has got more better effect than all the vitamins on which you spend so much of money. If you eat your meals, relax. And after meals also, you have a joke or something, or you just are light-hearted. That helps to digest the food. Which, what means digestion of the food, that the food, all the vitamins and all the important things of the food, the stomach takes it out from there properly and passes it on to all the parts of the body where it is required. But when under tension you are eating, the stomach cannot function there. And all that goes out in stool. Kaha gaye kahi 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 nahi, kya kya kuch nahi. That you made so much effort, but what did you do? Nothing. You traveled so much, but where did you go? Nothing. You did not benefit anything. You spend your money on the food, you spend your time, everything, but you didn't get any benefit of that food. So from here we can understand also the company of mashayikh, how important. Where two people who make namaz together, And if the one his tarbiyat is made, his namaz was mi'raj for him. He reached by Allah's arsh in that namaz. And the other person, fawailul lil musallin. That there is destruction for such types of namazes. The same way, two people are sitting, eating the same food, they are sitting on the same dastarkhan. But the one will benefit tremendously from that food, his body will get the maximum, the other one nothing. The same way also, while eating in between, now and then, read Ya Wajidu. You don't have to scream. You don't need a mic on your table to say Ya Wajidu. Just softly to yourself, Ya Wajidu, Jalla Jalaluhu, Ya Wajidu, Ta'ala Sha'nuhu. Use one of the praises of Allah with Allah's name also. When you do that, that food won't only be physical, bodily food for you, but it will be spiritual food also. And now with that food, you'll get, it brings nur in the body. And now you'll get tawfiq of ibadat also. Before eating, to say Bismillah. After eating, to say Alhamdulillah. Make shukr of Allah Ta'ala. Today while we're eating also, more complaints all the time. The food is like this, the food is like that. Children have also got a big habit. When we were in Mia's farm studying, Maulana Ibrahim Mia Sahab, Damat Barakatuh my Ustad, should say we see the students are very strange. When there is beans cooked in the mess in the hostel, they'll go and open 10 beans and go and eat it. But to eat here, there is a problem with the food here. But the same thing they are eating. And the beans of Mia's farm of those days were famous. But anyway, but you're going to eat your own beans, but this beans you don't want to eat. The children also at home, they always got a problem. Here in the madrasa, we try and maintain what a standard of the food. But yet, how many students come with their whole week's food? They just don't want to. It's just a mizaj of people. You always got a problem. That at home, why when the wife cooks also, you got a problem. And you'll go and eat out in a restaurant. That food you'll enjoy. And the chicken there, but here is also chicken. But this chicken you won't enjoy. It's just one nature of man, that you just want somebody else's food, you want something else, and always what is on the other side of the fence, those pastures look greener. But that is never the truth. Where you are and what Allah has given you is the best. Your own wife is not good enough for you, your eyes are somewhere else all the time. But what Allah has given you, that was the best for you. And if you can be content with that, so even with food, and let us learn how to eat also. There is also one art, and that is also tarbiyat. This is also Islah. It is very important. Some of our friends who learned with us, once they were making khidmat for some other people, they were shocked. They say that those people, also like religious group, and how are they eating? And how we have been trained, how to eat, how to clean, how to lick the fingers, how to make shukr, with how much tawadu to eat. All this, a person, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, if you bring two alims and just let them sit in front of me, and you don't have to tell me whose tarbiyat is made, whose not made. Just their sitting, I'll be able to tell. So you can see from the eating of a person whether his tarbiyat is islah is made or not. And forget namaz and forget ibadat, but just from the eating of a person. So there is also a very important aspect of our deen, how to eat, what to eat, when to eat, all these are also extremely important things. May Allah Ta'ala guide us towards righteousness in everything, and may Allah in His Qudrat make our Islah, Mukammal and complete Islah.